Okay, I will call back to order the Senate on Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and I'm going to ask Richard Whitman to come up, please. Okay, so committee members, there's some bills that are not going to be moving forward today. Senate Bill 217, it's not going to be moving forward today. The other bill that's not going to be moving forward today is Senate Bill 846. So I think Senator Richard Whitman's going to speak to both of those and provide us with a little bit of background, and then we'll move on to our work sessions. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Richard Whitman, Governor's Natural Resource Advisor. I'm going to speak briefly to three bills. Senate Bill
246. Did I say 846? Did I say the wrong one?
You did, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
I wondered about
Senate
that.
Senate Bill 8. Where's the Umatilla one?
Senate Bill 846.
Pick one out. We got a lot of them.
46? No.
Pick a bill, any bill.
Yeah. Throw a dart.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, Senate Bill 846.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I was right.
All right, Madam Chair, I'm going to speak briefly to three bills, Senate Bill 217, Senate Bill 846, and Senate Bill 839. First of all, Senate Bill 217 is a governor's bill. It proposed a water right management fee. You've already heard the testimony on that bill. We understand that this bill needs more work, and frankly, we need more time to work with a broad set of interests to get more consensus on the need and the fairness aspect of this bill. I was very pleased to hear the testimony from a broad range of folks that there is a need for a stable source of funding for the field services that our Water Resources Department provides, and the governor's committed to continuing to work this issue during the interim and come back to this body in 2014 with a more well-formed proposal for long-term funding for the Water Resources Department. The last point on 217 is, as Director Ward testified, Senate Bill 217 was not expected to provide net revenue to the Oregon Water Resources Department in this biennium. So this is not a budget issue for this biennium. And that's frankly part of the reason that we're willing to take more time to work this issue. Another bill, House Bill 2259, which is the extension of existing fees for Water Resources Department, is critical for the budget in this biennium. So that's the fee portion. With regard to Senate Bill 846, the bill specific to the Umatilla Basin in Northeast Oregon, I've said this in my testimony before. I just want to emphasize that the governor remains fully committed to implementing the recommendations of the Columbia River Umatilla Solutions Team, and included in that is the commitment to devote a full staff person to working to advance the specific projects that have been agreed to by that broad group of interest in that solutions team. So we have the opportunity with that effort to bring tens, if not hundreds of thousands of acre feet of new water, newly developed water, to a multiplicity of purposes in the Umatilla Basin, including irrigated agriculture as well as in-stream uses. It's really an opportunity for a win-win that we think can be replicated in other parts of the state over time. Lastly, I want to speak briefly to Senate Bill 839, which is the new funding program for water resources development in the state of Oregon. It would exist in parallel with prior work that was done in 2009 on House Bill 3369. This bill really is foundational to Oregon's long-term water resources development program. Chair Dingfelder, I looked yesterday at the budget numbers for the state of California in terms of what it is proposing to spend on water resources development in the next year. California's budget for water resources is over $400 million for water resources development in that state next year. The state of Washington to our north is proposing to spend $80 million in the next year on water resources development. Oregon needs a fully functioning water resources development program for both agriculture and other uses, and 839 is the vehicle for that to occur. Frankly, if folks are not voting for 839, they need to understand that the alternative is using the existing funding mechanism in House Bill 3369, which has not been used for the last 2 years because of concerns about ambiguity in that program. So 839 is very important to moving that program forward. It's also key to the Umatilla Basin. There is a section in 839 that is critical to the next phase of the Umatilla project, aquifer storage project, and is necessary to move that specific recommendation of the CREST team forward. So with that, I really would ask this committee to move 839 forward with a due pass recommendation. And with that, Chair Dingfelder, members, I'm done with my testimony. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. With that, I'm losing my committee staff. So at this time, as I mentioned, Senate Bill 217 will not move forward. And Senate Bill 846, the plan is to move that to rules. Before we do that, though, we'll have to make sure that we're getting all the paperwork and everything right. So we may end up having another recess before we do that. So we'll hold that to the end. And with that, we will go ahead and open up a work session then on Senate Bill 401. And Beth, why don't you explain to us where we are with that? And I think we're going to be looking at some amendments. And we are in work session, so if we can get a motion.
Madam Chair, I move the -5 amendment to Senate Bill 401.
Okay, there's a motion on the table to move the -5 amendment into Senate Bill 401. Any discussion? Senator Bates, I know this is your bill, so.
It is. Scenic Waterways Bill is one of the most misunderstood bills I think we have out there, or actually laws. It's been in place since the 1970s. In the last 30-plus years, no new waters have been promoted by Parks and Rec to be considered for the scenic waterways. And this bill actually says we want you to start looking at some waterways and spells out specifically which ones we want them to look at. It does not mean they're become scenic waterways. The way the bill is supposed to work, the way the law is supposed to work, is that Parks and Rec goes to an area of a river that's been potentially going to be a scenic waterway and talks to the landowners and talks to people involved in that and says, this is something you'd like to do. This would actually be something that's not a taking of anybody's land or rights. It's actually something that can protect them. I actually own a house on a river in California. I wish it was in a scenic waterway. Because the guy next door can put a pig farm in tomorrow, or the guy across the street can put in an industrial site, and I can't stop that from happening. What this bill does do is, if you become a scenic waterway and you want to do something on land, you just have to ask Parks and Rec, I like to do it this way. Is it acceptable you do it that way? And if they say no and you wait a year, you go ahead and do it anyway. They've had about 50 or 60 times in the last 30 or 40 years when that was asked. They worked something out very quickly. It's never gone any further than that. It's just a matter of a good neighbor policy of screening certain things from the river, making sure you're not disrupting the river from the point of view of people floating down it and looking at it, or your neighbors. And that's all it really does. And so what this bill does now, it says simply go forward with those studies, bring them back to us, and if everyone has a consensus on it, as far as landowners are concerned, we're ready to move it forward. This bill says we're going to do it for specific rivers.
Okay. So, Beth, do we have a fiscal on this?
Committee members, on the -5 amendment in your packet, you have a fiscal statement and that was issued on the bill. And then you have a no revenue, or on the -5 amendment, and then a -5 on the no revenue impact statement.
Okay, so this bill then would have to go to Ways and Means, so we would need to add a subsequent referral to Ways
Correct,
and Means.
Sir.
Okay, thank you. So we have a motion on the table. So is there any other discussion on moving for adoption of the -5 amendments? Any other discussion?
Madam Chair. I don't mean to be disagreeable, and I understand where the good doctor comes from. I just find it disconcerting that when someone says, I have it, and it would be nice to be able to stop other people from getting what I have. And I can appreciate your position. You have a nice property, and it's difficult to conform to land use laws sometimes. But I don't think that we as a state should make it our right to take away other people's land that they already own, to take away their ability to do what they do on their land. They own it. They have owned it for years. Their waterways might become scenic. And we, the government, have just gone in and said, we know better than you. So I will be a no on this bill.
Okay. Thank you. For the record, any other comments? Okay. Clerk will call the roll, please.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye. With that, the motion carries, and we do need a motion on the full bill now.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt. I move Senate Bill 401 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, Senator Bates moves Senate Bill, I'm sorry, Senator Hass. I'm looking over you.
Move Senator Bates to run.
Senator Hass. It's that time of the evening. All these, I won't say anything, I was going to say.
Paperwork.
All the men on my committee are starting to look alike. Senator Hass.
I think that is a wonderful compliment.
I think he insulted all of us.
Senator Hass moves Senate Bill 401 as amended with the dash fives to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Okay, clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator
Hample? No.
Senator Hass?
Aye.
No.
Aye. With that, the motion passes, and the bill is sent as amended to the Ways and Means Committee, and we will not assign a carrier because that will be done down in Ways and Means. So with that, we will go ahead and close Senate Bill 401 work session, and with all due respect, gentlemen, I adore each of you, so just ignore that last comment. Okay, next
up. Am I in that column, too?
Absolutely.
Oh, all right.
Next up is Senate Bill. I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 476. And Beth, you want to remind us about that?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 476, there is a no revenue impact on the Dash 1 amendment and a minimal fiscal impact on the Dash 1 amendment. The bill currently has, sorry, I'm making sure I'm doing this correctly. The bill currently has in original form had a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. However, the Dash 1 amendment on the bill is minimal because it is a gut and stuff. The Dash 1 amendment replaces the measure and it requires at least 30 days prior to entering into prospective purchaser agreement with any person to perform any removal or remediation act. The Director of the Department of Environmental Quality has to provide written notice to a person who has already entered into an agreement with DEQ, declares an emergency is effective upon passage.
Okay, thank you, Beth. So committee members, if you recall, this is, you know, otherwise known as a proverbial gut and stuff, and this was a completely different bill. We put in the language, this is Senator Johnson's request to deal with an issue having to deal with the voluntary cleanup program and
Senator who?
Johnson, purchaser agreements. I, in an abundance of caution, will declare a potential conflict of interest because my spouse works for the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality on the Portland Harbor and could at any time be working with landowners on voluntary cleanup program. So I will just put that on the record. Is there any, I guess we need a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 4-9-2013.
Okay, Senator Hass moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 4-9-2013. Is there any discussion? Okay, is there any objections? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted. Take another
Madam
motion.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 476 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Okay, Senator Hass moves Senate Bill 476 as amended with the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Okay, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Hass?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Sitting Felder?
Aye. With that, the motion passes. The bill is sent as amended to the floor, and with the request for rescinding the Ways and Means referral, we will ask Senator Johnson if she would like to carry this bill. And I've already talked to her, so I'm sure she will want to do that. So we'll assign her as the carrier. With that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 476. Going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 488. And I think we'll have a motion on that.
Amendments?
Nope.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 488 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Okay, Senator Haas moves Senate Bill 488 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Senator Bates?
Just two issues, well, actually three issues with this bill, and I just want to get on the record what my concerns are. First, I'm a little concerned about the off-ramp. We had a long discussion about that in my office and here also, that tying the off-ramp, the cost of fuel going up to two or three other states. I think it was, if I remember, it was Arizona, Nevada, and one other state, because they've marched with ours over the last 10 years, may be very viable and needs to be looked at very carefully and maybe the best off-ramp we can get, and I would probably accept it if I saw more information on it. Number two, people who receive their fuel from Boise via Utah, out of Wyoming, actually check this out. You're going to have to truck biofuel over to them to have them get it. And I think looking at carving out the eastern or the central time zone would probably solve that problem for Oregon. And everything to the west of that would still be in the bill. So it's something I'd like to have rules take a look at. Yeah, we want the smallest carbon imprint as we can, and trucking stuff clear across the state to put fuel into it and mix it and bring it back into the state seems a little contrary to what we're trying to do until those states figure the thing out. So those are my two biggest issues with the bill. They're not huge. And otherwise, I'd be very supportive of it, and I'm hoping that when they get set out of rules, I'll have that discussion.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments?
Madam Chair, my concern is the fact that the ethanol producers in our state have to import their product from Iowa. And I believe that the carbon footprint on a train hauling all that corn out here to make ethanol doesn't really do much good. So I'll be a no on this bill.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Sending it to rules. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 488 to the floor with the due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Okay, so Senator Haas moves Senate Bill 488 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Actually, we already made that motion, so we were in discussion. It's getting late.
It sounded very familiar to me.
I hit the repeat. And the clerk will call the roll now.
I got to keep doing it to get it right.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Okay, the motion passes and the bill is sent to rules. And this is another bill. Why am I looking at this? Okay, moving right along. We are going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 837. And Beth, if you can tell us what amendments we are looking at.
Yes, Madam Chair, in front of you, the most recent amendment that you're going to have is the Dash 4 amendment. I believe Brett Brownstrom is here to kind of give you a little bit more information.
Where's Brett?
I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's 837, the Dash 2 amendment.
Yeah, it's Dash 2.
Please,
that's what I thought.
It's the Dash 2 amendment, which
it's late.
There's a revenue statement, official fiscal statement issued,
okay.
Light statements, and it has a Ways and Means referral on the bill.
Okay, Brett, you're up.
Chair Dingville, members of the committee, Brett Brownscombe with Governor Kitzhaber's office. So to clarify this bill, the intent of this bill, and what I think I'll do is try to minimize time and just stick to the content of the amendments. The general context of this bill is there's an expedited pathway in statute for hydropower development projects. What this bill tries to do is for in-conduit hydropower projects, carve out an in-lieu process to the fish passage requirements currently in law. And the in-lieu process would allow those projects to move forward at a more expedited rate, incentivize renewable energy development in conduit projects, and condition that in-lieu process on a payment into a new fish passage restoration fund subaccount that would be used to fund priority fish passage restoration projects across the state. So the idea is a win-win here, but addressing the existing problem of there being an upfront obstacle to renewable energy and conduit hydropower projects being developed because of the costs, the upfront costs of fish passage construction in many places. So the amendments, just to walk through them real quick, the Dash 2 amendments were designed to address a couple things that in the previous versions of this bill, both the original and the Dash 1, were not in here. And these, just to take you back, these amendments are a consensus product of the work group that worked on this, comprised of renewable energy, hydro development proponents, conservation interests, irrigation interests, municipal interests, and the Departments of Fish and Wildlife and Water Resources. So the first, what I'll refer you to in Section 3, is that what the bill would do is bring a recommendation back or a study process back at the conclusion of 5 years in this bill. The departments would get back together with stakeholders and review at the five-year mark how this new approach to dealing with fish passage as well as in-conduit hydropower development, those dual objectives, how the fee structure in this whole approach of an in-lieu process is working. So that's the first change from the previous Dash 1 version that's found in Section 3 of the bill. The next big change from previous versions relates to eligibility criteria, and this is Section 4 of the bill, sub A. Section 4 of the bill, sub 1. So what we discussed as a work group was the intent for this exemption or this in-lieu pathway to fish passage is aimed at certain types of in-conduit projects. Not we're not talking about projects that are hydropower on dams. That's not affected by this in-lieu payment process. We're talking about projects that are being installed in conduit infrastructure, so pipes, canals. And the concern about the previous language was that right now, under the current statute, a project can qualify for the expedited process if it qualifies first for a FERC exemption, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. That exemption may be going away, and there are other projects that could potentially be built in Bureau of Reclamation-associated infrastructure that the previous version of the bill did not capture. And so there was an interest on the part of renewable energy development proponents to make sure that if the FERC exemption went away, there was still there would still be eligibility space for those types of projects in Oregon statutes, and for proponents looking to do projects associated with Bureau of Reclamation infrastructure, that they would also be eligible if they if those projects were consistent with the capacity limitations in the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission exemption. So that's what Section 4 sub 1 deals with. That's the other change in the Dash 2 amendments. Finally, the last one that I wanted to point you to is in Section 5, subsection 14, D. So the fee structure, which Senator Hensel, you I believe had a question on last time we were all here. The fee structure in this proposed approach is a graduated approach where over years a multiplier would be applied to the base hydropower fee that all hydro projects currently pay. If you're going to be doing, if you're not going to be installing fish passages under this new approach, then what you would be doing instead is an in-lieu fee. So not an upfront cost, but a portion of revenue generated by by a hydropower project would be put into a subaccount based on this multiplier approach. Certain projects will be that I think are foreseeable are very small, and the imposition of a certain portion of their revenues in a fee approach could render those projects non-viable, and that was not the intent of the work group's product on this. And so what subsection 14 sub A big D on page 8 of the dash 2 amendments at the top of the page, line 1, makes clear that for projects where your base hydropower fee is only calculated at less than $100, that project would only pay a minimum fee. It wouldn't pay a multiplier of the base fee, and that helps keep the small projects viable and eligible for this this exception to the fish passage requirements that's in this bill. So with that, I'll conclude testimony. I know you're I know this is a busy day, and I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you for the opportunity.
We'll see if there's some questions before we take a motion. And I do want to say that this bill is in the Ways and Means, because Zuntight.
Excuse me.
I think you're allergic to Senator Hass, so. I think there'll be lots more discussion about the fiscal part of this down in the Ways and Means Committee as well, so since that's going down there. Any questions for Brett? Senator Olson.
Just to thank you, Brett, for your time on this. In the bill itself, is there any, I know you review for funding, is there any review of the viability of the project that you've got in? Does it really work? Is there a review for that? Or is that up to the owner of it?
Yeah, Chair Dingfelder, Senator Olson. So what the bill does is it's up to the proponent of the project, so the applicant, to make the decision about whether they want to go down the pathway of installing fish passage at their diversion site or going down the in-lieu fee approach. And there's a pre-application consultation process with the departments where they can cost that out and make the determination about what's going to be best for them. The five-year review relates to more whether the fee structure is adequate in both achieving the fish passage objectives of the statute but also the in-conduit hydro development objective. So in other words, if the fee is proving to be, it was calculated with the intent of incentivizing this type of work. If it's not doing that and it's not also providing meaningful contributions to fish passage, then that would be the time when the review conducted by the departments would come back to this body and tell you how it's going with recommendations on what to do with the fee structure.
Just for clarification, if a project goes in and everything seems to be going okay, but the revenues that are generated by the project aren't sufficient, is the holder of that project allowed to remove the in-conduit and abrogate this contract that you'll have with him, or are they still bound by it?
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Olson, so what the bill makes clear is that and I think this may be what you're asking. If at any point the in-conduit proponent decides they don't want to do in-conduit anymore, they want to take the project out, or instead of paying the fee, they would rather seek a waiver from the Fish and Wildlife Commission or install fish passage, any of those conditions would allow them to terminate the fee.
Thank you very much. Great. Appreciate that clarification.
Thank you. Any other questions for Brett? Okay, thank you for your work on this. I know tight time frame, and that we finally got, I believe this is a consensus amendment. Is that correct?
Chair Dingfelder, that is correct. The work group is singing in harmony, I believe.
Okay. we'll see if that's true. But, no, that's what I've heard, and I appreciate. I know you've been working on this for over a year. So just if we think that making laws is easy, I appreciate all the time and effort that went into this, because we had a bill last session that there wasn't consensus, so what we have moving forward is a consensus product, so I appreciate that. With that, we are in work session. I will take a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 837, dated 4/17/2013.
Thank you, Senator Hass. Senator Hass moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 837, dated 4/17/2013, and Beth, I just want to make sure we put the fiscal on the record.
Madam Chair, there's a fiscal and a revenue analysis that were issued on the bill, just saying that there's further analysis required and that will happen in the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. So is there any discussion? guess I just want to say thank you again to the governor's office and to Brett for working on this, and for all the people who spent many hours working together to come forward with this legislation. Are there any objections to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 837 as amended to the floor with the DuPass recommendation. And that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Hass moves Senate Bill 837 as amended to the floor with the DuPass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Okay, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
Aye.
Senator Hass?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Aye. With that, the motion passes. The bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means, and once again, won't have a carrier because that will be assigned down in the Ways and Means Committee. We actually have two Ways and Means members here on this committee, so they will be able to explain this bill to their colleagues when it comes down there. Okay, with that, we will go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 837. We'll go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 838. I think, Beth, we have a new amendment. Is that correct?
Correct.
Can you tell us about that amendment?
Yeah, Madam Chair and committee members, you do have the -4 amendment in front of you on all listening in your packet. There is a no revenue impact and a fiscal statement issued on it. Again, with saying further analysis would be needed done in the Ways and Means Committee. And then I think you have someone here that will probably better explain the difference in the amendment.
Okay, Rich, thank you. I believe that is your amendment, so put your name on the record, please.
My name's Rich Angstrom. I'm the president of the Oregon Concrete Aggregate Producers Association. Our concern on the initial bill was its overreach into aggregate sites that were on farm and forest for our farm and forest members. And there was just the way the bill was constructed, it was overbroad and not just necessarily tightened down to gold and silver and precious minerals. And we alerted, obviously, folks to the overbreadth of the bill. And through a work of several folks on this, and especially Heath Curtis, who did a lot from OFIC, kind of bridging the gap here, Vicki McConnell from Dogami, and Bill Ryan, DSL, came up with the -4 amendments that limit the moratorium to gold and silver and precious metals for activities both in the water, so be within the beds and banks, and to upland areas within the 100 feet where it affects water quality. The other thing that the amendment does is it limits any permits that are issued under Dogami's laws in language. What effectively that does is make this a placer mining bill. With that, that's what the amendment does. The only thing I would say, just generally, taking OCAPA hat off just for a moment, I do think it's odd, and I think the committee, as they think about this moratorium, should think about how we handle lawful citizens and activity on Oregon waters where they are behaving and doing what they're supposed to do versus those folks outside of the permit and those folks that are in the state without permits. I've talked with some of the committee members, and I have scheduled appointments with Dr. Bates and Senator Hansel also. I'll schedule an appointment with Senator Hass to talk about an idea that I have for doing a little bit better for Oregon and citizens of Oregon on this. Talk to environmental folks. I'm going to put together basically a concept. Obviously, that's not wearing the OCAPA hat. I've resolved that, and at this point, OCAPA and the folks that I represent don't have an issue with the bill and have no position on it at this point. But I do offer my services to find a better way for all Oregonians, protecting our rivers as well as making sure lawful activity can continue. So with that, I have nothing further, Senator Chair Dingfelter.
Thank you. Any questions on this amendment for Rich Angstrom?
I need what you just said on the moratorium. So explain to me what the amendment does or doesn't do. Does it remove the moratorium?
No. The amendment, there's two things that are going on. One is I was just speaking to the amendment. Okay. The moratorium is still in the amendment, but it only applies to gold and silver and precious metals. And it's been tightened up so much, it shouldn't have any collateral effect on the other industries.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Senator?
It does.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yep.
Yes, Senator Bates?
Just real quickly, we're going to have to vote on this bill in a few minutes. And I understand your amendment, but could you give us an idea of what your concept is? You've mentioned something here that I'd like to hear about. And I know it's not finalized. This bill is not going to the floor directly. What is your, broadly speaking, what's your concept?
Here's my concept. This is not wearing a CAPA's hat. This is just being a natural resource person for the state and offering some help on this pretty difficult issue that affects everybody. I strongly believe that we should not be punishing lawful placer miners in the state that are following the laws and doing things right. But as you know, I was a district attorney in the past and wear a law enforcement hat from the South Coast and have some experience in your neck of the woods. It appears to me that what we should be focused on are those folks that are placer mining outside of their permit conditions and are in the state illegally without permits. And roughly the concept is that anybody caught doing that should have a 5-year suspension of their ability to do any activity in placer mining until we get through the studies and other things. The study needs to happen. The other part of the concept is that lawful miners, placer miners, should be protected from nuisance complaints from citizens, whether they're in the banks or elsewhere, when they're doing their lawful activity. So there's more to it. There's some conditions that Richard Whitman outlined that I thought were somewhat appropriate. I promised the folks that are involved in the discussion that I'd try to get an outline circulated tomorrow sometime that would flesh this out. But Chair Dingfelter and Senator Bates, I really think we can do better than a moratorium. It's a very hard stick that affects not only the innocent, but the people you want to get to. And I think it's just patently unfair. So I offer that, obviously, wearing a natural resource hat and not OCAP. I took care of my client. But the rest of it is I just think we can do a little better than the bill as it's outlined.
I think Senator Haas had a question.
Thank you. Just to that point, we at Decima, to me it seems we don't have near enough the people to monitor this, enforce this, and regulate this now. And because other states are putting controls on this, a lot of people are just flooding into the state, and the trajectory of permits is just skyrocketing. We can't even control this now. So while I don't disagree with what you said, I feel we have to do something.
Chair Dingfelter, Senator Haas, I don't disagree that something doesn't have to be done. I just think that we can find a win-win and we can actually roll our sleeves up a little bit and look at it in a little more detail and see if we can find a more sophisticated, precise approach that'll get us through the 5 years until we get more information. I think conditions that are appropriate, hours of operation is an example. You know, in our industry, wearing the aggregate hat, right? In many places where we're around the communities, we don't do hours of operation too early in the morning, right, or too late at night, so we disrupt family time and things of that nature. So there's some actual things, even from that side of it, that we can be a little more sophisticated about, a little more and a little more thoughtful, and still accomplish some wins for the community as well as the placer miners, because you know the protection of nuisance claims is a big deal. Being a law enforcement guy, I can tell you a lot of those complaints were folks not liking those guys in the river, and they should be protected from that kind of harassment also. So there's a quid pro quo here, but certainly I agree something can be done, needs to be done. It's escalating, no question. You only had to be in this Capitol for most of the session to see the energy on this issue. But there's some solutions to be had. I think we should look at them before we do a moratorium is the point.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Rich. Did you have?
Yes.
Okay.
Rich, I appreciate your comments on this. I'd like you to speak to the fact that although we have had an increase in placer miners, we've had a corresponding increase in jet boats and rafters and all those other folks that use the river. I think you clearly stated that it's not fair to take it out on the placer miners, but would you comment on the fact that that we should all share in the solution together, such as the drift boaters. We've got a jet boat that goes 104 miles up the Rogue River and runs in 8 inches of water. That certainly has an impact on the riverbed, and we don't seem to be addressing those situations. And I just wondered if you'd like to comment on that.
Chair Dingfelter and Senator Olson, the only thing I would say is we have a great state that has a lot of things that a lot of people can do that are an awful lot of fun. And it's jet boating, it's fishing, it's fly fishing, it's rafting, it's placer mining, it's running tubes down the river. I think one is we do have to have a discussion about how the different competing interests are all behaving and trying to be respectful of the other's uses. And that's really what it's about, appreciating that we are all Oregonians and we all have different interests in what we do in this state. And when one side is doing things that is obstructing the other interests, we have to look at those. And if it's the placer miners or it's the jet boats, it still is something that creates a conflict. And when it gets to this point, obviously, it becomes a conflict that couldn't be worked out on the riverbanks. And probably a good idea wasn't worked out on the riverbanks. So that's what I would say is that we do have conflicts just because of the size of the population and the fact that we have a great state that has lots of recreational uses and demands on our rivers.
Senator Bates, did you want to add something as well?
Just a couple comments real quickly. This bill is not going to the floor today. It's going to Ways and Means where it can have more work done to it. People should understand that right now. This is not going directly to the floor. We don't know what's going on out there in two different areas. One, the one that Senator Hass talked about, it's unregulated basically. We have no resources for doing that. This bill gets us some of those resources to see what's actually happening. And secondly, the evidence that I've seen, for the most part, indicates to me there is some damage to aquatic life. How severe that is, where it should be going on, not going on, is a little more open to question. California chose a moratorium and studies. We're in a really tough spot because of what they did, what Idaho did, and what the Ninth Court Circuit did as far as restricting people on federal lands. The potential impact this summer, next summer, the following summers in our rivers in Southern Oregon could be really, really almost impossible to understand. So I think we do have to act. At this point, I'm still in favor of full moratorium, but I could be moved.
Okay.
But I'd want to talk to the governor about that and other people involved before we made any kind of commitment. All I'm saying now is this bill needs to be moved out of here. We're at a time limit here. It needs to be moved to Ways and Means. It can have further discussion there. But for right now, I'm just really worried about Southern Oregon rivers. And there is more people using those rivers. Most of us get along fine. When you're fly fishing on the upper Rogue in the summertime, if you're not out there by 10 o'clock, forget it, because the rafters are coming through and it's just a flotilla of them. They're having a great time. Wonderful people. We all laugh at each other and we get along fine. In the down the canyon, we've had to put a permit system in years ago because it was getting too crowded. And those things have to be done. And those are the kind of compromises you have to make.
Senator, Chair Dingfelter, Senator Bates, I hear what you're saying. I'm only going to propose another path.
Thank you, Rich. We appreciate your comments. Okay, I will.
Madam Chair.
We are in work session. Yeah.
I move to adopt the -4 amendments to Senate Bill 838 dated 4/17/2013.
Okay, Senator Hass moves to adopt the -4 amendment to Senate Bill 838 dated 4/17/2013. Before I take any discussion on this, I just want to put on the record that in response to a claim during the hearing and an email that there was a potential conflict for me and my employer and this bill, I did go to legislative counsel and I have a legal opinion that confirms that there is no conflict. So if anybody would like to see that, we have that and I have that here in writing. So I just wanted to get that on the record. And then with that, the -4 amendments have been proposed. Is there any discussion on the -4 amendments?
Madam
Senator
Chair.
Olson.
I find it quite interesting that we as a state who set up agencies to regulate, we put a comment into the -4 amendment, line 14, page 1, whereas the regulatory system in Oregon related to mining using motorized equipment in the beds and banks of the rivers of Oregon involves several agencies, which it does, and the agencies are unable to determine the actual amount of mining that is occurring in the state, the locations of the mining, whether the best management practices are used, whether regulatory requirements are fulfilled, or whether the impacts of the mining are minimized. Ladies and gentlemen, that's on us. that's our fault that we cannot properly fund agencies to do their job, and so we propose a moratorium on those that are regulated by us. I find that ironical that we can decide that our agencies can't do the job, so we can punish someone else for it. And I am going to be a no on this one again, but I'd like to add this to the record if I could. California Department of Fish and Wildlife subsequent environmental impact review. Best management practices required by California's suction dredge mining permits are similar to Oregon's and provide a surrogate to evaluate the potential impact in Oregon waters. This EIR found that impacts on fish from suction dredge mining in California to be less than significant. Not my report, report from the Oregon Chapter of American Fisheries, and I'd like that in the record. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Any other comments? Senator Hansel.
I'll be a yes on the amendment and a no on the bill. I would like to have the discussion go forward that we heard earlier on that. I can't get the fact that we're going to do a moratorium on a practice and study it, and I can't get beyond the logic of how can you do an accurate and reliable study on a practice that you put a moratorium on. It's counterintuitive to me. I don't understand that. And I concur with what was said here and my Senator Olson that we're basically shutting down a whole industry if there isn't some fairness here. They're legally allowed to do it, and I don't mind a study, but I do not like the moratorium that goes with it, and I'll vote no.
Okay, thank you. So why don't we go ahead and do a roll call on the, this is on the dash four amendments.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
Aye.
Senator Hatt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Chair Dean Butler?
Aye. With that, the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 838 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Haas moves Senate Bill 838 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, once again, a bad bill going down to get repaired, get fixed, get looked at. It keeps it alive. You're absolutely correct. It does keep it alive. But we've chosen a route that penalizes folks for unfounded reasons because we have more coming. We have more doing it. We have more cell phone use. We don't penalize those folks. We have more people driving and texting. Yes, we pass laws. We're not out there chasing those guys down. We don't put a moratorium on cell phones and cars and make you take them out. I think this bill is the wrong way to go. I think the best way to go is to work a good, solid, once again, a work group to come up with a bill that benefits everyone, benefits our environment, but does not penalize these good folks and put people out of work. Because 5 years moratorium puts people out of work, manufacturers, not only the gold miners, but the manufacturers and everyone else. I think it's a bad way to go, and it's a sorry day for Oregon.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Any other comments? Okay, clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Senator Haas?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Chair Dean?
Aye. With that, the motion carries. The bill is referred to Ways and Means, so it does not need a carrier, and there will, as you heard, will be further discussions down in Ways and Means. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 838. We have two more bills left. Senate Bill 839. Beth.
Yes, Madam Chair and committee members. Senate Bill 839, you have the dash 4 amendment in front of you. There is a no revenue impact and a fiscal statement impact on the bill that reflects that there's further analysis needed on its upon its subcommittee referral in the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, so we have a dash
4 amendment.
Okay, so I will take a motion on that.
Madam Chair?
Yep.
I move to adopt the dash four amendment to Senate Bill 839 dated 4/16/2013.
Okay, Senator Haas moves to adopt the dash four amendment to Senate Bill 839 dated 4/16/2013. Now, there is a, that's just the amendment, because this is also going to Ways and Means, because it has a fiscal.
Correct, sure.
Okay. All right, so we have a motion to adopt the dash fours. Is there any discussion? Okay, are there any objections?
Yes.
Okay, so noted, Senator Olson. Okay, with that, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 839 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Haas moves Senate Bill 839 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion on that?
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Once again, another confusing bill that basically probably will not be used by anyone. It's difficult to interpret. It requires at least 25% of what you do to go in stream. And when you split the water out, if you take more than 25% of a grant from the state, which is it's a good program if we allow these guys to do this, but if you take more than 25%, most of the water that you take, you'll be putting back in for other reasons, and it won't be for the reason you need it for. Once again, this is another bill that needs work. And Ways and Means is not going to do the work that it should. So I'll be a no on this one, too.
Okay, thank you for your comments on that.
Madam Chair. I'm really conflicted on this bill. Well, there's parts of it I really like, particularly the Umatilla Basin. It enhances that. It moves it forward. There's, as Senator Olson said, there's some parts of it that I find very problematic. I'm going to vote yes to move it out, but I reserve the right if some of these things are not fixed in Ways and Means to my satisfaction to hold, I will not necessarily be an aye vote on the floor. So I will move it forward for further work, and hopefully that work can be done.
Okay. So noted. You go ahead and call the roll, though, so we have that clear.
Senator Bates.
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Haas?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Olson? No. Chair Dinkelman? Aye. With that, the motion passes. The bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. Again, we don't need a carrier for that. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 839, and I will go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 846, and I misspoke before and said this bill was not moving forward, but is not moving forward to the Ways and Means. It is going to go to the Rules Committee, and Senator Hansel and I had a discussion, and that was a mutually agreed decision, and so I just wanted to thank the Senator. We're going to continue to work on language to hopefully find some mutual agreement. And so we have permission to do that, correct?
Correct, Madam Chair. You have permission to move the bill.
Okay. And so do we have our fiscals?
Yes. We have amazing people on fiscal. So you have a fiscal on the 846, the bill itself, and a revenue impact on 846. The fiscal statement is a light statement.
Okay. I'll take a motion.
Madam Chair, I appreciate your flexibility on this. And I move Senate Bill 846 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded and the bill be sent to the Committee on Rules.
Okay. Senator Haas moves Senate Bill 846 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded and the bill be sent to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. The bill is sent to the Committee on Rules. And I guess I will designate, because we were supposed to designate a carrier, Senator Hansel, in case that does come out of, okay? And with that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 846. And Beth, before we adjourn on the Senate bills, is there anything else that we need to do?
Madam Chair, I think you have completed your full agenda.
Thank you for your patience, committee members, and we were able to finish everything on our agenda. With that, we are adjourned.